podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Well, we have been looking at how God tells us to use His Word in recent weeks, because the Word is the voice of God, so we must hear it eagerly. And the Word is spiritual food, so we must digest it thoroughly. The Word is God's truth, so we must handle it properly. The Word is a double-edged sword, so we must wield it carefully. And the Word is a guiding light, so we must shine it willingly. And this morning we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 to listen to the Apostle Paul's advice to a minister to whom he was a mentor, a minister by the name of Timothy. And let's listen to Paul's instruction to Timothy about how to use the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you have your pew Bible, that's found on page 843. Second Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse 1. In the presence of God, and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the Word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word to us this morning. Father, teach us what it means to preach your word, to proclaim your word. Father, to be the type of people through whom your word is broadcast and published. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here are some letters that have been written to pastors from children. These are actual questions written to pastors from children across the world. Dear pastor, I know God loves everybody, but He never met my sister. Yours sincerely, Arnold, age 8. Dear pastor, I'm sorry I can't leave more money in the plate, but my father didn't give me a raise in my allowance. Could you have a sermon about a raise in my allowance? Love, Patty, age 10. Dear pastor, my mother is very religious. She goes to play bingo at church every week, even if she has a cold. Yours truly, Annette, age 9. Dear pastor, I would like to go to heaven someday because I know my brother won't be there. Stephen, age 8. Dear pastor, I think a lot more people would come to church if you moved it to Disneyland. Laureen, age 9. Dear pastor, I liked your sermon where you said that good health is more important than money, but I still want to raise in my allowance. Sincerely, Eleanor. Dear pastor, please pray for all the airline pilots. I am flying to California tomorrow. Lori, age 10. Dear pastor, I hope to go to heaven someday, but later than sooner. Love, Ellen, age 9. Dear pastor, how does God know the good people from the bad people? Do you tell Him, or does He read about it in the newspapers? Sincerely, Marie, age 9. Dear pastor, who does God pray to? Is there a God for God? Sincerely, Christopher, age 9. Now that's deep. Dear pastor, please say in your sermon that Peter Peterson has been a good boy all week. I am Peter Peterson. Sincerely, Pete, age 9. Dear pastor, my father should be a minister. Every day he gives us a sermon about something. Robert Anderson, age 11. And then the last one. Dear pastor, I liked your sermon on Sunday, especially when it was finished. Ralph, age 11. You notice that a lot of the work of the pastor, even according to these letters from children, revolves around the sermon. When people think of pastors, they think of sermons. In fact, some pastors receive the name preacher instead of pastor because it's assumed that that's the job that a pastor does, is that he preaches the word. And where do we get that from? I mean, have you ever wondered why we have preaching on Sunday mornings? Why don't we just sing a few songs that we enjoy, shake some hands, read some announcements, read a little bit of scripture, sing a few more songs that we like, and then, you know, go home. Doesn't that sound like that would be enough on a Sunday morning? I mean, why do we spend so much time with preaching? Why do we have a person called a preacher? And why do we put him on a platform behind a pulpit? I mean, the church could save a lot of money if they didn't have to hire a preacher. Think about that. And then you wake up each morning on a Sunday morning and you drive down here and you pass by plenty of homes where people are just sitting in their footsie pajamas behind a table with their Sunday morning paper open, drinking a cup of coffee, and you're wondering to yourself, why am I going down there to listen to somebody just spout off and preach when I could be sitting at home, you know, relaxed? Well, why do we do this every week? What's the purpose for it? Why is it important? Well, if you've ever wondered where we got that idea from, the idea of someone standing up and speaking from the Bible during worship service, here it is. In Paul's advice to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that we just read, one of the responsibilities of Timothy as a spiritual leader, one of the responsibilities of any spiritual leader in the church is to preach the word, to proclaim the word. So, you know, the question that we would come to this text with is, well, do what? You know, I hear people say that. The first thing they say on the cell phone when they answer it is, do what? They're probably talking to their wife. Do what? Well, you know, maybe when we come to Scripture, we need to ask the same question. Do what? Well, this passage tells us, preach God's word. That's the advice that Paul gives to Timothy. Preach God's word. And that word means to proclaim after the manner of a herald. You know what a herald is? A herald was a person who stood up as the king was about to arrive and in a loud, clear voice proclaimed, here comes the king. Hear ye, the king is coming. That was the job of a herald, to speak out in a clear voice, to publish or proclaim it openly. Well, that's basically what a preacher is supposed to do. A preacher is to proclaim, to take God's word and to make it clear. And the Bible is to be the text from which that preaching comes. So rather than stand here Sunday after Sunday and tell stories that I collected off the internet, or talk about what happened last week in my life, or talk about things that are going on in the news or political situations. I mean, some churches, that's what they're doing on Sunday morning. The Word of God tells us that it's the preacher's job and his calling and his charge to proclaim the Word of God. It's not the preacher's job to soften the Word of God or to serve it with a teaspoon of sugar either. It's the pastor's job to take the Word of God as it is and proclaim it to people as they are. To bridge the gap between when the Bible was written and when we live today, and to make sense of those words that are given to us by God, to make sense of them today, to proclaim the Word of God. To present principles from God's Word that can be applied in our lives today. So the do what of God's Word, Paul's advice to Timothy is preach it. Preach the Word of God. The next question we might ask is, well, when? When do you preach the Word of God? And, you know, you might expect that the answer to Timothy would be on Sunday morning between the hours of 11 and 12, right? But you make sure that you go a little over 12 just to keep people interested. You know, you don't want them, you know, heading out to lunch too early. You don't want them to get there before the Methodists. So make sure you preach between 11 and 12. It doesn't say that. In fact, it says that we should be prepared in season and out of season. Well, when is preaching season anyway? I mean, is preaching out of season kind of like carrying a shotgun during bow season? Is that what that is? The preaching out of season, you know, catching trout in the wintertime and keeping them, what is it? Well, another way of saying it is be ready to proclaim the Word of God, whether it's a convenient time or whether it's not a convenient time. In other words, when do you preach the Word? You preach it now. You preach it now. You need to be ready at all times, in season, out of season, when it's convenient, when it's not convenient, when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it. That is when the Word of God is to be preached. Look for opportunities to present the message of Jesus Christ and to proclaim Him, no matter if the audience is full of head nods and amens or whether their arms are crossed, they're shaking their heads, they're falling asleep, they got an attitude, doesn't matter who listens, just preach it. Just let it fly and don't wait for a better time, preach the word now. Because waiting can be hazardous to people's health if you wait too long. In fact, Romans chapter 10 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Pretty straightforward. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But the question that comes from that is, how can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Someone has to proclaim that there is a God that loves them. Someone has to proclaim that Jesus died for them on the cross. Someone has to do the work of preaching, or else faith can't follow and salvation can't follow that. You see how important it is that we preach and that we not wait to preach, but that we preach now, in season and out of season. Paul's point is that apart from the preaching of the Word of God, people will not know that they are sinners. They will not know that they need a Savior. They will not know that Jesus came to save them from sin. They will not be able to call on the name of the Lord because they won't know what the name of the Lord is. Preaching the Word is important, and it needs to be done now, and it needs to be done later as well. Well, the next question is why? Why preach the word? And Paul, of course, gives us three reasons in this passage of Scripture. He says, correct, rebuke, and encourage. That's from our NIV that we read. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. That's why we preach the word of God. The King James Version uses the words reprove, rebuke, and exhort. The Message Version says challenge, warn, and urge. And the Bible in Basic English, another translation says, make protests, say sharp words, give comfort. Well, I put it in three other ways to look at this. One would be, the first one would be to step on toes. In other words, to convict with the Word of God. That preaching should step on toes. That when you come to hear preaching, you don't necessarily come to hear some fluffy words that are going to feel good and nice, and you'll walk out all the time encouraged and feeling good about yourself. Sometimes when you come to hear preaching, you walk out feeling like someone stepped on your toes. Someone's been meddling in your life. Someone can see into your secrets in your mind. And you know why that is? It's because preaching comes from the Word of God, and God does see behind closed doors. God does see into your thoughts and into your heart. And so if His Word speaks to the heart, then faithful preaching of His Word will also speak to the heart. And it tends to step on toes. Sometimes when you preach, you have to say things that people do not want to hear. And that's what Paul was warning Timothy about. He's saying, when it comes to the end times, there's going to be people who just want to hear things that they want to hear. They're going to hire preachers who are going to say what they want to hear. Paul says, Timothy, don't you be one of those preachers. You be the type of preacher that stands up and preaches the Word of God, what it says to people where they are. Don't forget about, don't worry about how it's going to be received. Just preach it because it's God's Word. It confronts sin, the Word of God does. It's confrontational. It makes us feel guilty at times for falling away from God and for living our lives short of His standards. And so when we preach the Word of God, don't be surprised if your toes are smashed, if you walk out from time to time with pain in your heart and in your mind over what you've heard, because that is what the Word of God is designed to do. As we preached a couple weeks ago, the Word of God is like a sharp, two-edged sword that cuts deep into our intentions and our thought life and into our hearts. And since the Word of God is like that, then preaching from the Word of God needs to do that too. It rebukes us, but it also warns us. Another thing that the Word of God, the reason we preach the Word of God is to step on toes, but also to shake them up, to warn people. That's part of the preaching of the Word of God. Sometimes we just need somebody to warn us. Like, for example, when Lainey Pope interrupts your TV program to tell you that there's a tornado that's barreling toward your home, you know, at that point, you're probably glad that she said something. At first, when you see her pop up on the screen, you go, oh, no, I was in the middle of the show. Now we're going to miss half the show. But right at the most important part of the program, here's Lainey again. But when she starts saying the name of your town, your county, your road, you know, and you see the map and it looks like it's headed right for you, you say, thank you, Lainey Pope, for that warning. If she does know where Quaker Gap is, even though she pointed at Sandy Ridge when it was coming to Quaker Gap, you understand what I'm saying. You know, you got to get it right. But if she comes on the TV and warns you that it's coming, chances are you say, thank you for that. Even though, you know, it may not be convenient for you. And that's what the preaching of the Word of God is to do also. It's like when a friend takes you aside to tell you that there's a string of toilet paper trailing from your shoe. You know, you say, okay, you know what, that's embarrassing, but I'm glad you said something before I made a greater fool of myself. Sometimes the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God does that. It says, hey, you, there's a problem here that you need to confront. You need to get in the basement quick. You know, you need to straighten things up in your life. That's what the Word of God is about. It warns us, and the preaching of the Word of God should warn us too, because the Word of God carries eternal consequences with it. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 13 says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has an evil, unbelieving heart that forsakes the living God. But exhort one another each day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may become hardened by sin's deception. Hebrews, the writer of the book of Hebrews says, this is the lookout verse. We need to tell people, watch it. Your life is headed in the wrong direction. You need to grab a hold of something. You need to turn again toward God. Can't you see how your life has been slipping one piece at a time toward evil? You need to get hold of reality and grab back onto God and turn toward Him. And sometimes preaching just needs to warn us that there's a problem because Jesus is returning. You know, we all have a problem with sin. We all have a problem with sin. We are all in grave danger, hardened by sin. If we don't solve our sin problem, then there's danger ahead. And Jesus is returning, and when He does, He's going to judge that sin, and we're going to have to pay the penalty for sin, which is separation from God for all eternity. So preaching from the Word of God makes us aware that there is a God who loves us, who's done something for us. Don't be fooled into thinking that your good works that your ministry for God can somehow save you, because it's only through Jesus Christ that we receive salvation. And preaching of the Word of God must step on toes, and it must shake us up, because the Word convicts and the Word warns. And so preaching must also convict and warn. But preaching also must set them straight. It must direct. The third word on preaching here from the Apostle Paul is focused on directing the listener. The word is to encourage or to urge or to exhort. To encourage, to urge, or to exhort. You know, a good sermon should provide some type of direction for the people who listen to it, so that when a listener leaves, she knows what to do with it, you know? I mean, we could just sit here and we could lay it out. Here's what the Word of God says. But it's a better thing, perhaps, in preaching to say, here's what the Word of God says, and here's what that means to you today. You know, lately these sermons on the Word of God have been designed to encourage you to get back into the Word of God if you've fallen away. That's the purpose of them, to put it into action. Maybe it encourages you to just get into the Word, to open your Bible more, to take your Bible down off the shelf. Maybe it encourages you to wake up an hour earlier on Sunday morning and come to a Sunday school class. Or to maybe it just whetted your appetite for Scripture to convince you that God's voice needs to be heard more often in your life. The next step, of course, is yours. You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to set aside more time to study God's Word? Are you going to look for a Bible study that meets perhaps somewhere near work or somewhere associated with the church? Are you going to meet in the school cafeteria with other believers to talk about the Word of God? Or what are you going to do with what you've heard? The good preaching of the Word of God sets people straight and directs their steps. As we said a couple of weeks ago, the Word of God is like a light that shines on our path and shows us what our next step is to take. And that preaching from the Word of God should do the same thing. If you walk away saying, boy, that was interesting, then the sermon and the preaching is a flop. You need to walk away with homework, compelled to change, because you heard God speak into your life. That's what preaching is designed to do. So in this passage, Paul instructs Timothy what to do. He says, preach the word. He tells him when to do it. Now. And why to do it? To step on toes, to shake them up, and to set them straight. But in addition to the what, the when, and the why, there's a how. Look at Scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. In your copy of the Bible, look what it says there. Preach the word, be prepared in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. That answers the question, how? King James Version says, with all long-suffering and doctrine. The Message Version says, don't ever quit, just keep it simple. So how is the Word of God supposed to be preached? Well, with long-suffering, or another way of saying that is persistently. Persistently. With great patience. It means patience on the part of the preacher. And you thought that you were the only one who had to be patient during a sermon. The preacher has to be patient too. Continuously proclaiming the Word of God with long-suffering over and over and over again. Sometimes to the same people over and over again. I have a friend who I ministered with in a church that was right down the street from mine in New Jersey. He moved to North Carolina about 2 years before I moved to North Carolina. But this friend of mine, every year when Christmas rolled around, so about now, we would get together and he would say to me, I hate Christmas. Now, he wasn't the Grinch. He was a pastor. And I always used to wonder, why do you hate Christmas? How can a pastor hate Christmas? And he would tell me, because every year now, for 20 plus years for him, he said, I have to sit down with these same stories, just a few chapters in the Bible about Jesus' birth, and try to make it new and interesting for people. He says, and I find that to be a great struggle every year to come back to that same story and to try to make it interesting for people. Well, you know, if that's our reason for hating Christmas, then perhaps we need to preach from a different passage of Scripture around Christmas time. Really, that is the nature of Scripture. Sometimes we have to be repetitive. You notice how at different seasons in your life, different times in your life, some of the Scriptures that you learned when you were a child suddenly take on new, invigorated meaning. You know, a word that you've heard over and over and over again, suddenly you hear it again, and where you are in your life, it ministers to you in a new way. You see something new on it. It's like God takes a highlighter and he highlights a couple of words there. I never saw that before, yet you've known that verse forever. Maybe around Christmas time, you open the Christmas story and you read it again, and you say, I never saw that. Or I've seen that, but I've never seen how that relates to me right now. Maybe you've had the opportunity during a funeral service to hear the 23rd Psalm read. And you said, oh, here we are at a funeral, and it's 23rd Psalm again, right? Every funeral I go to, it's the 23rd Psalm. But because of you knew that person well, and you loved them, and you were close to them, and your heart was torn in two, suddenly, the Lord is my shepherd. And your eyes were open, and your heart was warmed, and you thought, wow, that means something to me today. That's why we need to preach persistently, over and over and over again, even if it means going back to the old, old story again and again and again. That requires persistence, because you never know when it's finally going to take root in somebody's life. In addition to that, the word says that we need to preach with persistence or long-suffering and with teaching or with doctrine, instructionally. As time goes on, this book that you have in front of you is becoming more and more of a mystery to people as time goes on, because we are becoming more and more biblically illiterate. It used to be that people were exposed to the Word of God at a very young age. Even at school, they turned to the pages of the Word of God and learned things like the Ten Commandments when they were very young. And that took root in their hearts and they knew that. Well, if you were to ask a typical person in our day and age to recite the Ten Commandments for you, or even to just get five of them right, they may not be able to get it. They don't take for granted that people know, because in our day and age, the Word of God is becoming more and more of a mystery to people. So whenever we open the Word together, not only are we challenged and motivated, but we need to learn. I mean, motivational speaking is nice, and it gets things accomplished, but that's not all what preaching is. Preaching is so much more. Preaching needs to be based on the truth of the Word of God. So we must first be able to understand the Bible, when it was written, where it was written, why it was written, and then to be motivated by what it says. To get it first and then to implant it into our hearts and to put it into life. A good preacher must also be a teacher because the two gifts go together. Let me give you a definition of preaching that comes from an old-time professor by the name of Phillips Brooks. Here is this somewhat long definition as far as definitions go, but listen up. Preaching is truth through personality. It may be largely didactic to teach, or else to lead to faith, to convict and convince, and to motivate, leading to obedience and godly action. Preaching is truth on fire, radically different from a secular lecture or talk. Through it, the power of God is revealed unto the salvation of souls. Through preaching, men are fed with godly doctrine that leads to holiness. They are exhorted to seek God and His saving grace through Jesus Christ and His cross. They are rebuked because of error and sin. They are encouraged by the faithfulness of God presented to them in the covenant of grace. Preaching is essential, a sine qua non for the church. Without it, the people of God will languish. Where true biblical, systematic, and expository preaching is present, the church will thrive. Beautiful words, but there are three things about that particular definition that catch my eye. Preaching is truth through personality. That's why the Word of God sounds different coming from different people. That you may go to hear one preacher preach from the Word of God, another preach from the same passage, and then you may take your turn to preach, and you'll notice that it comes out differently every time. Why is that? It's because God has given each person a different personality, a different way of arranging thoughts in their mind and in their heart. Some are more creative. Some are going to yell at you and stomp all over you until you walk out feeling about this big. You know, but maybe you needed it. Some are going to talk about it. It's going to be so beautiful that you're going to walk out awed and inspired by it. Some are going to teach it to you in such a way that you understand it for the first time and it lights up in your heart and in your mind. The personality of the person through whom the truth comes is essential in preaching. And that also makes it important for you to understand that the Word of God needs to be filtered through your personality. Because nobody else can proclaim the Word of God like you can. You may say, well, there are other people who are called to do that. I'm not necessarily saying that you need to get up here behind this pulpit and preach on a Sunday morning. What I am saying is that God wants you to take His truth, His Word, and proclaim it. And broadcast it and publish it to the people in your life in one way or another. And through your personality, your gifts, and your style, nobody on the face of this earth can preach, publish, broadcast, give the Word of God like you can. Because you are the only you that God has created. Can you say amen to that? Amen. You are the only you that God has created. So when the Word of God comes through you, it's preached much differently than when it comes through anyone else. Understand that the Word of God needs to come through you. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. I don't care your level of education. I don't care any of that. All I care is that you understand the Word of God and allow it to flow through your life in some way. Because when it comes through you, it's special, like it comes through nobody else. Preaching is the truth on fire. See, the Word of God is truth, and we can read the Word of God and study the Word of God and sap it for truth, but suddenly when you take the Word of God and you feed it through a person and through their intellect and their personality and their imagination, it comes out and it's ablaze. Suddenly it makes sense, it's on fire, and it catches because a fire tends to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the power of God revealed. That's what preaching is. It's the power of God revealed. So when you proclaim the Word of God, God is in it. That's why, you know, sitting to listen to a lecture on English literature is not the same thing as sitting to listen to preaching. Because the Holy Spirit is in the preaching. God is in the preaching. And there's power behind it as He works not only through the words that are spoken, but also in your heart as you listen. Making sense to you. perhaps it makes sense to nobody else. Preaching is that important. Truth through personality, truth on fire, and the power of God revealed. Preaching basically is this. Here's what you need to know. Here's why you need to know it. And here's what you need to do with it. Now, however you can communicate that to someone from the Word of God, you've preached. That is what it means to use the Word of God to preach. And I believe we're all called to do that. A common misconception is that all preaching takes place behind a pulpit. That's nonsense. It's not true. Some preaching takes place beside a child's bed at night. Some preaching might come from a puppet's mouth in children's church. Some preaching can be done in a cafeteria at school or across a business lunch with an associate. In fact, any place where the Word of God is discussed in order to challenge someone to know God better or to follow Jesus more closely, any place where that happens is considered preaching or proclaiming the Word of God. And in a sense, then, we are all preachers, every one of us. Your greatest sermon is your life. The next most important sermon comes from your mouth. So get out there and preach. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, for the encouragement of your word. We thank you, even as the choir has sung to us about Christmas time and the advent and the arrival of hope into this world, that your Son, Jesus Christ, is the living Word of God. That when we see him, that baby in the manger, and when we see him fully grown and ministering and doing miracles, and when we see him on the cross, we see the revelation of our God. How we thank you for that. But Lord, we also understand that you have designed us to also be the bearers of your word. Father, may you implant your word in our hearts in such a way that when we live, when we speak, when we discuss Scripture with others, that your Holy Spirit will be in it. May we present truth through our individual personalities. Father, help us all to be equipped to be preachers, whether it's preaching season or not. Help us, Lord, to preach your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.